Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside Hour 2, the Jason Smith Show, with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
One of the World Series. Still a 5-1 Braves lead over the Astros as the Braves are coming to bat here in the top of the seventh inning. Braves bullpen has done a tremendous job coming in relief of Charlie Morton, who leaves the game with a broken fibula. Is hit on a ground ball back to him, tries to stay in the game, but he cannot. The results are already in. He is out for the rest of the World Series. They are hoping he will be okay enough for the beginning of spring training, but already 2 1/3 innings into the World Series, the Braves without their ace the rest of the way, and what looked to be a strength now for Atlanta coming in. Hey, they got their rotation the way they want to. They got it set up. They had the long way. Now it's become something that they have to get by, and that has turned this game into a must-have game. And look, clearly, well, every game in the world, yeah, but when you're coming off, certain games mean more than others. And when you can take game one in Houston, really put the pressure on them, knowing that you're losing your best pitcher, you got to have this. Because if you come out of this game and the Astros come back to win and you're trying to navigate the rest of the series without your best pitcher, good luck. It's almost like this game, if the Braves don't win this, the World Series is there for the Astros and it may not even be competitive. So this is what's at stake for the Braves trying to hold on to this game tonight.
Well, knocking at the door, right, as we got nine more outs to navigate here. A.J. Minter with a season-long 2 2/3 innings out. I think they got everything they could. Luke Jackson comes in, has already given them an inning. The goal, obviously, not to extend your bullpen too much, right? You start playing the chess games as you go through because you're probably over the course of the series looking to find sweet spots to match up. You know, you're hoping to get 5-6 innings out of your starters here. You have to go short. But the point being that you don't want the Houston bats to see the same pitcher three times. So you're already planning on leaning on your bullpen a ton. And now in game one, you have to go even earlier. Right, you don't get to steal the extra 2 or 3 innings with Morton here in game one. You've already got to go into the pen and start that clock and all of a sudden start playing that chess game that much sooner. So a big one, as you said, they're not all created equal. We have stuff we've never seen before. I don't remember a guy getting hit in the leg and then breaking his leg on the mound. We had a leadoff home run, first time in 117 World Series that we've watched that you had that. So just chaos all around. And a 5-1 Braves lead over Houston. Let's face it, outside of people that are rooting for Dusty Baker, maybe a single player or two on that roster and the planet of Houston, you know, everybody's looking at the Braves by default.
Yeah, no, you like how they put that out there, right? When it became, here's a World Series and everybody hates the Astros, how many websites, whether it was ESPN or anybody else, hey, you know, Dusty Baker chasing his first World Series as a manager. Boy, one of the most beloved guys in baseball history. Boy, isn't he a rooting factor? Can't you root for Dusty Baker in the World Series? Like, hey, forget about the rest of the stuff with the Astros. Can you a little bit root for Dusty Baker? Can we put him up there at least as one guy on the big bad Astros you can root for? Hey, I like Dusty, his toothpicks and his sweatbands. Oh, can we just make Dusty into a sympathetic figure? No, the answer is no. No, you can try. The answer is no. Again, no, not happening.
Join the squad and you can try to put a little bit of spin on it. Try to add a little pixie dust, as it were, and the feel goods of a guy of a life in baseball and all of those. And yes, in an interview and then even the back and forth with Tony La Russa, which is always great, the symmetry of their careers and some of the numbers managing against each other, really kind of baffling as to how even it is. But when you get down to it, no, you went and you took the job to try to rehabilitate the image of a team that nobody believes actually paid any punishment, right? They paid. There was no restitution here.
No.
They got to keep their rings. They moved on. It's like everybody that still wags their fingers about the steroid era, though. Y'all got fat and made money off it, and the records aren't changing. So you just, at some point, you have to accept it. Likewise here, hey, look, you don't have to like it, and you can boo them vociferously until you scream yourself hoarse. Astros won the title, and you're looking at 5 years of the excellence of execution and the elocution in terms of owning some of the dastardly deeds and all. But the reality is the records are still going to be there. The ALCS appearances are still going to be there. These guys are going down as, you know, stars of this decade. And you talk about Altuve and his postseason home runs and all of these. There's just these great narratives that can be formed. The problem is the first, second, or third paragraph, depending on how you want to order it, is still going to have to talk about this scandal. You can't wipe that away. And no, having Dusty Baker being out there as the face of things, that's not helping it. That's not wiping it away. It's still there.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show. He is my best friend, but you've known this already, and his name is Mike Harmon. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations, they do apply. Well, we got some big-time NBA to get to coming up in about 10 minutes. We have three results that I can't wait to talk about. One, a surprise team is 4-0. One is obviously the Knicks because they're great. And we have the end of overtime coming between the Lakers and the San Antonio Spurs. And again, I hate to say I told you so, but the Lakers are doing something that I said they had to do if they were going to be successful, and they're kind of doing it. But before we get to that, the NFL story that just won't die. And that is because with every passing day, everybody's got an opinion about what should have been done with Tom Brady's 600th touchdown ball, right? On Sunday, he throws the 600th touchdown of his NFL career. Mike Evans, not knowing that it's a 600th touchdown, gives the ball to a person, a fan, wearing a Mike Evans jersey in the stands. And then it was, oh, wait, hey, we got to get that back. And, you know, that's Tom Brady's 600th ball. The fan gives it back. And over the course of the last couple of days, the Bucks have given him a bunch of stuff, a couple of signed jerseys from Brady, a signed helmet. Mike Evans gave him his cleats from the game. He got some Mike Evans autograph stuff. He got season tickets for the rest of this year and for next year. So we got a bunch of stuff. But yet, this is not stopping so many people from weighing in and saying, oh, that guy's got to get more than that. That guy's got to get more than that, right? Peyton Manning last night on the Manning broadcast, Tom Brady weighing in saying, oh, the guy gave up all his negotiating power by giving the football back. Even Jerry Jones said today, oh, you know what I would do if I had that ball? I'd make it known that I had it, and there would be a negotiation. There would be a bidding war. Everybody's weighing in, oh, it's the fans' fault. You got to do better than that. You got to do better than that. I'm like, okay, all right, this story, I really didn't care about it up until now. I really didn't, because you know what? The fan tried to do a nice thing by, hey, we got to have the ball back. It's Brady 600, whatever it was. And you know what? The fan gave it back. It was a nice thing the fan did. And the fan got a bunch of stuff from him. He's doing radio interviews too. It's not like he didn't give him any. Like the Bucks say, they're like, oh, here you go. Well, here's a Tom Brady autograph. Or, you know, Tom Brady waves to it. No, the guy got a bunch of stuff. Okay, it's a football. Mike Evans walked over and handed it. It wasn't that he was predestined to get the football. The fan walked over and handed it to him. And I get that, yeah, on the open market, it could have fetched a lot of money. Now, when you say it could be worth $500,000, that's just a guess. That's not. It's not like they're definitely going to get
$500,000. I'll tell you right now, it's worth far more than that.
Somebody would have paid more than that?
Correct.
Somebody would have paid more than that. You think?
Yes.
You really
because,
think somebody would pay
yeah,
more than
where,
that?
Where the memorabilia market is right now, you would have gotten more than that, because Brady, Jordan, all the GOAT kind of talk, the market is white hot. So this was a story as it started to develop Sunday. It's just a, yeah, but not everybody's aware of the white hot memorabilia market is the other part of this, right? When the guy was asked, you know, he's getting pressured by the guys in the stands around him. Good gesture. Obviously, you know, we go into, you know, possession is well, pretty much all of everything when it comes to the law.
It's 9/10 of the law. That was what always going up. Possession is 9/10 law. I didn't know what that meant, but I used to say that. Possession so is 9/10 of the law.
So you had it. It was now your possession.
Yeah.
You're free to do with what you will. Yeah. You know, he asked for a round of golf. Tony Romo's in hot water because he started to pony up in a makeshift improv scenario, talking with Jim Nantz of how the he should ask for a date and an opportunity to hang out with Gisele Bündchen, which is getting Romo absolutely killed. So you've got all of these different scenarios playing out. Yes, it's a valuable football, but in the moment, someone says, hey, you know, that's important to Tom. Can you give it back? Most folks are just going to say, yeah. And then all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, as their phone starts to blow up, or the guy that has an idea of memorabilia behind him says, you're an idiot. You gave up the farm. Because, like, you know, again, you know, the other day you had a rookie pair of shoes from Michael Jordan, $1.5 million. I mean, and how many more of these big, nice, round milestone numbers is Brady going to get to? If he plays forever, then yeah, he gets to 700. But any football that goes into the crowd hereafter, I mean, it's record-breaking every one, right? It's like the McGuire home run balls that Todd McFarlane was bidding $1, $2, $3 million a piece for back in 1998. That's where the market is on this stuff.
Well, all right, so if it's more, let's just say it's more, right? And the guy could have had more. That's fine, right? I mean, maybe you could have got more, maybe not, but maybe you could have, right? And now to hear all the – now because Brady and Manning and Jerry Jones want to go, oh, you blew it, you blew it. Okay, like I said, I really didn't care about the story up until now, but now I do. So now the next time someone gets a ball from somebody and it goes into the stands and it's something that somebody wants, I want them to ransom the moon for it, right? Because you want to sit here and make fun and go, oh, he lost negotiating power. We didn't give him any – No. Now say, okay, now forget about being nice. I want everything. If you want this ball, if you want this 500th home run ball, you want the 600th home run ball, you want the ball from whatever touchdown pass you've thrown, Zach Wilson's 10th touchdown pass in the NFL, whenever that, whatever big piece of memorabilia you want. Now I want fans to go, no, now you are going to pay through the nose. You know why? Because Brady and Peyton and Jerry Jones all wanted to laugh and go, oh, let me show you something about negotiating. Yeah, no. Now I want you to take them to the wall for it. I want you to ask for the team. Ask for everything and 20% on top of that. Because if they want to go forward and go, oh, yeah, look at this guy. Oh, he blew it. Look, he could have all that. Now you ask for a lot more. And now everybody else has to just suck it up because this is what I want all fans to do. This is my big payday. I could have done X, Y, and Z. No, now you go and you hold. And if they don't give it to you, you hold it and you go sell it. You do whatever you want to do and get it out of somebody else's hands. Because if they want to be so funny about it and so flippant and so glib, because Brady doesn't care, because he got a 600th. I wanted to throw 700 touchdowns. So the 700th ball can somehow be spiked and go in the stands and I can grab it and I can sit here and say, yeah, you give me $50 million, I'll give you your 700th touchdown pass. I'll give it to you. But $50 million, oh, you want to give it to me? I'll sell it on the open market then for, you know, $2 million or $3 million, whatever it is. But that's what I want. I want extra money from you, and I'm going to make sure I sell it to somebody that's not going to sell it to you back. Right, this is what I want. You want to be so glib like that? You want to play like that with when knowing full well people are going to see this story and go, that's right, next time I get somebody else's ball, I'm not going to be the nice guy. I'm going to make sure that I hold on it. No, I want everybody to do that now. Everybody to do it.
See, now you've come around. This is the way it should be. Absolutely. Yeah. Open marketplace. And now I think everybody is keenly aware, since this was covered everywhere and on the morning shows, etc. You know, the memorabilia market since COVID and trading cards and everything else, it's a whole different world, right? People going back and trying to find alternative investments, looking at the stock market and saying, all right, where can I put money elsewhere? Well, they've gone back into historical documents. You've got all sorts of apps. Hell, I mean, we own shares of the Andre the Giant jockstrap to show you where stuff goes, right? In terms of memorabilia, pieces of a Kobe Bryant signed floor from his last game, all of those things are available to you for fractional ownership. In this case, the guy had the whole ball and he gave it up and, you know, trying to be nice. And he's like, wow, Tom Brady said my name and he's taking it in good stride. But I'm sure behind the scenes when he's quiet and alone with his thoughts since Sunday night, I mean, that's life-changing money, right? This isn't a, hey, I got to pay off, you know, a student loan or I got to pay off part of a car. This was, I could buy real estate in Los Angeles kind of money.
Oh, I don't know. Ask Adele. Yeah. No, ask Adele. You can't pay. You can't. No,
I didn't. Look, I didn't say you can go buy your giant mansion. I didn't say you can go into your, you know, $10 million to 16 million pounds kind of conversion. No, no, no. I'm not saying that. But the reality was, I mean, this legitimately was a life-changing cash. And Brady, through his sponsor that does cryptocurrency, he's going to get a Bitcoin. So as of today's value, that's about 62K. So that makes it a little better. But in reality, like, this is one of those where someone knowingly, you know, gets you on a deal. It's like you think you're buying something, say, at a garage sale, and it's actually a $50,000 piece of memorabilia, and they buy it, and then they turn around and laugh at you. You sold it to me for 50 cents, sucker. I mean, you're kind of a jerk for doing that, right? I mean, look, we're all looking for deals, and, you know, you may go thrifting, you may go around your neighborhood to estate sales, and occasionally you find something that's really interesting. I'd like to think that if I suddenly had the golden ticket, that, you know, I'd be good about it. In this case, he gave the golden ticket back, right? And here it is. Insert your picture of Tom Brady as Willy Wonka now, as some kid walked back and said, you know, I'm good. And now you've got it's one less kid you get to torment in your chocolate factory. So
I'm going to throw you in the chocolate river, Violet.
Yeah, no Augustus gloom going around here. So, yeah, just a very interesting story. And, you know, some folks, you know, wringing their hands going, wow, this is the worst of people. It's like, no, it's not. And you don't know what you do in that situation. I think you'd be more apt to give it back. But anybody that is chiding people for saying, hey, get what you can, opportunities like this don't knock very often. So to do all the finger pointing and say, well, you know, I wouldn't do that, I'd give them the ball back because it was important. It's like, you know, just beat it. You know, take your holier than thou and stick it.
Twitter @ how about a Fresca? Mike gets swollen. I mean, you get a ball, you ransom that for as much as you possibly can. Everything you can. When you have your own business, you basically have to do everything. That includes hiring, which can become a second job. And that's why there's Indeed, the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. With smart tools like Instant Match, you instantly get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description the minute you sponsor a job. Spend less time sifting through resumes and more time saying you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, still 5-1, game one of the World Series, but coming up next, oh boy, do we got some big NBA results from tonight to break down for you. One team is 4-0, one team's the Knicks, and one team, I told them exactly what they needed to do to win.
Cleveland!
No, it's not Cleveland. It's a much more important team. That's next right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations, they do apply. World Series Game 1, bottom of the seventh inning. Atlanta continues to lead Houston 5-1. Astros batting with one out. Now make it two outs as Luke Jackson sends Jose Altuve down on strikes. Altuve must have not gotten the buzz that the curve was coming.
Ooh, sorry.
Ooh. Was it too soon?
I'd seen all the discussions of whistling early on. So, you know, all of that happening. But, no, it is certainly no buzz, and it wasn't his time.
Man, you're supposed to whistle. Got it. Sorry. I was. There was a really hot girl that was walking by, and I was like, I took my eye off the game. I'm sorry about that. That's my fault. That's why I didn't know it. I'm sorry.
Tell you what, though, great job by Jackson. Again, we talked about it. You got to try to eat some innings here and conserve the rest of your bullpen. They've gotten great work from Minter and Jackson here to get this deep.
And considering Jackson's last outing against the Dodgers, not exactly what the Braves had in mind. You're always going to be a postseason slump, and he's pitched really well. Look, the entire bullpen has pitched terrific since coming in for early in the game for Charlie Morton. So this has been a really big game so far for the Braves. So again, we'll have more on this coming up. Again, bottom of the seventh, two outs, pitching change for Atlanta. Now, three big results in the NBA tonight. And let's kick it off with a result that just happened. It is an overtime final for the Lakers and the Spurs. There was no LeBron tonight because LeBron took the night off to watch the end of Squid Game again, just to see if he liked it better. I don't know if he did, but the Lakers and the Spurs go to overtime. No LeBron, and this is how it ended.
That'll do it from San Antonio in overtime tonight. Lakers beat the Spurs.
125 to 121. They were incredibly large nights from AD as Davis goes for 35 and 17 rebounds. And Russell Westbrook, 33, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. A very quintessential Russell Westbrook game in which with no LeBron, what did we see? Guess who had the ball the majority of the time bringing it up? Hey, Russell Westbrook. What did we tell you after the first Laker game, right? All right, everything is fine. They lose the first game. They're trying to fit things in. But boy, Russell Westbrook playing off the ball, I wasn't a big fan of that. And then Frank Vogel said he's got to fit into our system, so it's going to be a bit of a thing for him. And that's when I said I was concerned, because what are you doing? You got Russell Westbrook to be Russell Westbrook. What the hell? You're going to make him fit in? Give him the ball and let him go. LeBron can figure it out. AD can figure it out. But you got Westbrook to come in and be a ball-dominant point guard. He's one of the top 75 NBA players of all time. This is how you got him. And maybe because tonight was a bit of night of, well, necessity dictated that this is how it went, Westbrook had the ball the majority of the game, and look what he did. 33, 10, and 8, and the Lakers win. Not suddenly that they're better without LeBron. Oh, hot take, Pat.
That is good hot take. Get it out there.
They're better. But they are better when the offense runs through Russell Westbrook, and they will be a better team when the Lakers realize that and understand that he needs to be Russell Westbrook. If we make him play off the ball, he's going to be just a guy, and he's going to sulk, and he's not going to play well, and this isn't going to go well for anybody. But you have to give the keys to the offense to Westbrook. If you do, the Lakers will be fine. And look what you're seeing tonight already. Without LeBron on the road, boy, this looks bad. Lakers could go to 1-3. Nope. They win in overtime, and you get a big night from Westbrook and a big night from AD. And you had a nice night off the bench, too. You had a couple of players with really nice nights coming. You know, Reeves had 10. You know, Hillbilly Kobe, he had 10 off the bench tonight. But this was clearly Westbrook and Davis, and it worked terrifically together. And they improved to 2-2. If the Lakers do this more, they will be just fine. I could coach the team because that's what I would let them do.
All I can say is I want to see the third man back into the, you know, tag back in, right? Because it works tonight because you don't have LeBron there. Okay, he's going to be going, yoo-hoo, I'm over here. I figured out Squid Game and I'm back. So, you know, yes, it solves it for a night against the Spurs, and they have a big win in overtime. You have the scare when Davis went down and he popped back up and got an alley-oop. So a nice little international soccer or MLS kind of play working for you there. 35, 17, and 4 for him. 4 block shots as well. So a monster game. But yeah, once LeBron goes back in, I mean, you haven't solved anything. You just have an outlier sample here of, you know what, on nights LeBron takes load management or does some film study. We've got a guy that can run the offense when he's
back.
Well,
this was the whole reason, Mike. This was the whole reason why they got him. You got him so during the regular season you can save wear and tear on LeBron and AD.
No, sure, right? But they eventually still have to work together. No, this is exactly it. No, you're absolutely right. We talked about this when he first arrived, and everybody started going, "Oh, this isn't going to work." It's like, no, there's two parts to this. One, you got to navigate the 82 game regular season, and given the past injuries, and look, LeBron has now shown that he's human, right? It's like when Drago bleeds in Rocky IV. Like, wait a minute. He's bleeding. He is human. You know, that kind of thing. It's the same thing when LeBron got slid into last year. You know, things that were usually guys would bounce off him like he had the outer shell of the 1989 Batmobile. Nicely done by me. That didn't happen. Now he got hurt and he missed significant time, and now you're worried. There it is.
Batman.
Nice. I liked how the mayor got loud there. But, you know, it's that kind of situation of you got to get through 82 games. So here's one you navigated quite well. Yeah, you got some stressful moments, but you got away with a win. Russell Westbrook feels good. He won't have LeBron saying anything condescending about him, feeling jitters or anything tonight like he did after the opener. No, you went out and you got your 33-10-8. You got a win, and that's one game that LeBron got some rest, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more throughout the season. Come April, they're still going to have to figure out how to play together. So eventually we're going to need to see some improvement in those regards. But you know what? For this late October night, Laker fans, for a moment, they celebrate Westbrook's arrival, and they smile, and they say, how does Carmelo Anthony only have 4 points in 30 minutes? How did he only get up seven shots? That's what I want to know.
He had 29 the other night. Come on, he had 29.
What is he? Did he shoot himself out where he's tired?
He's probably retired. Yes, he probably was.
He only got seven shots up in 30 minutes.
I know. That's, yeah. I don't know that's ever happened to him in his career. Wait. I only shot seven times.
I mean, Austin Reeves almost got as many shots up.
But baby steps for the Lakers. Let's just let Westbrook run the show first so we understand that's the path to be on. Then we can work in, all right, let's weave in AD, let's weave in LeBron. Because clearly when Westbrook and AD play together, that works okay. We saw that tonight, right? That worked pretty well, right? AD was terrific running up and down the floor. Had that scare when he goes down, and literally the next play is an alley-oop to him, so you know AD is all right. So you know that the Westbrook-AD thing works okay. And this will be good. You just have to turn it over to Westbrook. That's why you got him. Just do it. I get it's weird, but LeBron wants him. You just have to do it, and it'll work out just fine.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So elsewhere in the NBA tonight, and this is not me being, well, one team you know is my team and one team I've said a lot of critical things about, but the two other big wins in the NBA tonight, the Knicks just absolutely thump the Sixers 112-99, thanks to a 39-point second quarter. They improved to 3-1. As I've told you, and I'm going to just keep saying it, the Knicks are completely legit, right? David Gascott asked me last hour, what's the ceiling for the Knicks? This year, they can be a top three team in the East and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They are that good. This is their year. Next year, when they're really done with Tom Thibodeau and his coaching's approach and him always being pissed off, yeah, that's going to be a thing. This is the year, and they have everything they want. They got that perfect mix of, we're still buying into the Tom Thibodeau system and the strategy, and we have enough players in now that are taking threes. You can put offensive numbers up that are much bigger than last year. We're not just worried about, hey, if Julius Randle can't have a triple-double every night, what are we going to do with Fournier and Walker? And they both had nice nights tonight. The Knicks are absolutely legit. I mean, I'm telling you, everybody was sleeping on them. And it's not, oh, they're 3-1. Yeah, the Knicks are a really good team. They were a good team last year, and the one thing they needed was more scoring, and they brought in two players who could do it. And you're not relying on Kemba Walker to play 38 minutes a night and be the number one guy. You're saying, be one of the guys. You know, he had 19 and 28 minutes a night. That's fine. That's all you need, right? Fournier got 18 and 30 minutes. That's all you need. There's a pretty deep team. Their second unit can come in and do a ton of damage, and that's exactly what they did tonight. The Knicks are a complete basketball team, and that's what people forget. I just don't like the Knicks, and people talk about them all the time, and loud mouths like Jason Smith on the radio say all these crazy-ass things. The Knicks are a complete basketball team. They go 1 through 10, and their second unit can come out there and really do some damage. They have it rolling. I'm telling you, on the Knicks.
Fun stuff. Five guys at double figures, and then Obi Toppin only 12 minutes tonight, 9 points, four boards. He's a guy that I'd circle is going to be important for any kind of rise that they have. You know, even just to get back to the four seed is a big deal. Frostberg, our executive producer, did send us the page out of the Daily News. Kemba leads route as Knicks end a 15-game losing streak versus Philly. Bing bong, the skid is dead. That seems like something that would have been like in a page of notes that was floating around the internet before this started. Going, can the Knicks actually beat the Ben Simmons-less Sixers? And yes, they did. You know, take advantage of what's on the schedule. 3-1 to start the season. Julius Randle, 7 of 18, but 16, 11, and 7. You'll take that, Smith. That's your guy. You won't be able to yell MVP with those kind of numbers, but you just want solid game-to-game action, and for Tom Thibodeau to not wear these guys out. Got to get through the full 82 and then into the postseason. And like what they've built, would be curious to see if there isn't another veteran addition somewhere along the line. They got 20 good minutes from Derrick Rose off the bench. He was plus 10 with 13 points on 4 of 7 shooting. So, yeah, good balance and good contribution off the bench. You got some depth going on with the Knicks. What the hell? What happened? Suddenly they're building a team that can compete.
I'm telling you, I've been saying it all along. I don't know why people are sleeping on the Knicks.
But here's the thing. You tried to sell Sam Darnold to us for a long time. I'll speak for our show. I can't speak for everything else because I'm not listening to everything else. It's all noise. It's the idea that, you know, you tried to sell us Sam, and then, you know, when it bad, you cut him loose. Like it was straight out of A Few Good Men. With the Knicks, it was Knicks, going all the way back to Phil Jackson. And that went to hell. And now it was, this was going to be the next iteration. We watched it last year.
Now there's excitement that I had that didn't turn out to be anything more than just premature excitement. And then there's legit analysis of, hey, this is really good.
The problem is the two things sometimes converge into a... you know, a little bit of a mess where we can't quite separate them.
Well, that's not my fault if people can't.
No. Look at your tone and tenor with some of the analysis.
Knicks.
Well, that's the thing. When it starts with Knicks. Now, let me tell you why the Knicks are going to be ready. And then there's a vocal track of you, like the Starland vocal band, coming together going, Knicks, you know, and sing-songy stuff like you're, you know, an afternoon delight.
And TJ skyrockets in flight for the Knicks, beating the 76ers in an afternoon turned into evening delight. The thought of rubbing you, you know what, that's TJ analysis. 877-99 on Fox is the number, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up next, the basketball rivalry that we didn't know we wanted, that we're getting, that we absolutely have to have. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Discover matches all the cash back earned on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations. They do apply. Well, the Lakers win in overtime tonight without LeBron James. We've talked about it. Hey, give the keys to Russell Westbrook. This is what you needed. This is why you got him. LeBron misses the game tonight, but it's not without controversy because now we have the NBA feud that we absolutely didn't know we needed. And that is LeBron James versus the director of Squid Game. A week ago, there was a big video that went viral of LeBron and AD talking following a game. LeBron said, I didn't like the end. Did you watch the whole thing? And they're talking about Squid Game, and LeBron didn't like the end of Squid Game. Well, it's finally made its way back to the director, who said, well, let's talk about Space Jam 2. Maybe LeBron, you can make your own ending to the series if you want to and go do it. So now we got a big-time battle going on. It's LeBron and the Squid Game director. Without any spoilers, I'm going to tell you, Mike, the ending was fine. I mean, I know you haven't watched. You're the one person in the world that hasn't watched.
No, that's true.
The ending is absolutely fine. I mean, I don't know what LeBron expect, like what I think he wanted would have been a very boring ending, and how are you going to set up season two of Squid Game? Because you know, after the success of this, there's going to be another season, even if the director very honestly, even though he probably shouldn't have said, I don't really have any ideas for season two of Squid Game. I was all about season one.
You lie. That's what you say.
Yeah, you say, I have great ideas. Are you kidding? That's what they all say in Hollywood. We have a great idea for year two. And then you watch year two of a show and you go, yeah, you really only had an idea for year one.
Yeah, see, I'd rather him slow play it this way.
Yeah.
Right? Not that I've watched it yet, but it's that kind of thing. Once I get there, if he's legitimately saying, look, I don't have an idea, but the whole time he's got some, you know, house that on every inch of the wall he's written out everything for next year. That's what I want, as opposed to, oh yeah, number two's already done, right? I mean, they had the big celebration of the Premier League here in Los Angeles, so they had their pre-match shows that were outside the Coliseum, and they had one of the creators, they had Coach Beard out there asking about Ted Lasso season three and to get the crowd fired up. I was like, we're starting to write it now. Like, not, hey, we wrote it and it's brilliant. No, we're starting now.
I'm telling you, the end, you have to set up a season two, even if you don't know where it's going to go, right? And that's what the end of Squid Game did. And honestly, it was very in line with the character that LeBron was talking about, that character's behavior. I'm like, I can completely see why this character would do this. You know, why this is what this person would do at the end. So I just think he wanted a nice little bow and have it nice wrapped up in a nice heartwarming way. And I'm like, it's a show where people get killed if they don't win a game of a kids. I mean, people get killed in really bizarrely bad ways, and he wants a heartwarming Ted Lasso-like ending. That's not really what you're going to get with this. Then you're not going to get that.
Do you have a ripped Believe sign at the end of it?
Did you not see the million gallons of blood they used in this entire thing for Squid Game?
There's a blood-soaked Believe sign at the end as they go to the final credits.
I want it. And then you put your hand up and it's a big bloody handprint on the Belief sign.
Wow. Now there's your dark turn. No longer is it just a fish out of water story.
Don't you fret, Boba Fett. We'll get even with you after. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up, more on the World Series and a double barrel of big NFL stories. Thanks to the commissioner. This is Fox Sports Radio.